I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Farm Girl here. My real name is Dana. Rhymes with banana. It's really hard to get a word in edgewise here. Wow. I am the host of the Accidental Farm Podcast. It's a daily, 5 minutes an episode, and guess what? We're at 100 episodes. I know you're already wondering, accidental farm? What's that? Well, it's like having an unplanned pregnancy, except with farm animals. Here are three reasons you won't want to miss the Accidental Farm Podcast. One, in just 5 minutes a day, it packs in a funny, sad, or weird farm story. Two, every story has a little nugget of wisdom that you can use in your own life. And three, it's a great way to take a little break to escape your daily life and get a little bit closer to nature. The Accidental Farm Podcast, anywhere you find your pods, episode one, Find Your Inner Predator, is waiting for you.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
This is Lakey Hill the way it used to be. When we brought the kids up here on Sundays, they used to love this time of year. Joshy pointing out the buildings in the village. St. Stephen's, the stables, the bull, Bert and Frieda in Woodbine. You can see everything from up here.
Is Dumpty Dum, a podcast about the archers and the goings-on of Ambridge. It's P&Q here, Philippa Hall, who's never been stood up for an evening of horse gas.
And Quentin Rayner, who probably would get dumped for microalgae.
And queuing up with your 5 pences to pay for a half pint of lager, that you daft old wrinklers are Dumpty Dummers. This week's Star Trek Dumpty Dum tune is from our Stephen, and we'll have a new tune next week from Mia.
And look out for a film also from Stephen that will be released soon, won't it, Philippa?
Next month,
our patrons, in which he shows you how he makes these amazing tunes. We've already seen it. It's a fantastic little film. Mm. Well worth signing up to be a patron to watch that. Now, before we proceed, we need to do a bit of name dropping here, Philippa, because I didn't want to mention it, but we did get mentioned in the Sunday Times, didn't we, recently?
Hooray!
Yes, it's one of the 10 podcasts to bring you cheer. Mm-hmm. So we're delighted about that. Thank you, Sunday Times, and thank you, Dumpty Dummers, for getting us mentioned along with, well, you know, one or two other famous podcasts by, I don't want to brag, but, you know, Bob Mortimer, Bill Nighy. Dumpty Dumber is up there with them. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Isn't that wonderful? We get cheer from doing this, and to know that others get cheer from listening, it's great. But who will bring us cheer today? Well, on this episode, we're lucky enough to hear thoughts from Catherine R. Bryan, Rob, Jenna, Ambridge Pony Club, Bill in Ukraine, Matthew from Coventry, Dusty Substances, New York Nigel, Kevin from Dorset, Claire from Clapham, Young Keith, Ian, Daniel from St. Andrews, Martin from Sheffield, Purple Pumpkin and Anon of Ambridge, plus Tweet of the Week, Facebook Roundup and welcoming new members of our Facebook group, information about our Instagram account, predictions for next week, and then the Dumdy Book Dumb item with crime writing author Leslie Thompson. Marvellous.
It gets longer and longer every week.
It's fantastic. But Quentin, let's look back at what happened this week.
Well, every once in a while, there's a script line which unites all 5 million Archers listeners. On this occasion, it was uttered from the lips of Rex.
Your mum? Please tell me you're joking.
Yes, Kate was out to pitch her business vision to replace Phoebe on the rewilding project, and within half an hour had convinced her sceptical grandmother.
So off they went to persuade slash pressurise Rex into taking her on.
Late for the meeting, Kate pronounced the compost loos were
so uninviting.
And that Rex should do
the unskilled labouring and hedgehog whispering.
While she
found the money to pay for it.
Running spiritual home as well wouldn't be a problem because
the synergy will lead to a huge cross-fertilisation of ideas.
And willow weaving classes and foraging walks would bring in the punters.
Peggy reassured Rex it was entirely his decision and future funding wouldn't be affected whoever he chose.
But as Kate put it,
where's he ever going to find a better candidate than me?
Brian muttered to Jenny he hoped it was just one of their daughter's passing fancies, but he had more pressing things on his mind. The serious financial hit to Home Farm from Alice's impending divorce, unless they can persuade Chris to play nicely.
There was only one thing for it, a full-on charm offensive from the connoisseur of cravats. He was going to offer a holiday cottage rent-free to Chris and Martha to generate goodwill and dissuade their son-in-law from chiselling every last penny out of them, encouraged by Alice's guilt.
Valentine's at the Bull went off with a bang. The social speed dating revealed that
Amy wanted mind bleach after talking to Barry about his gecko and rat.
Sabrina overshared her most embarrassing moment with Rex.
Richard Thwaite can knot his tie standing on his head.
And Alice wanted Amy to meet someone special at the event. Luckily, Chris didn't show up.
Kenton may have flattened Eccles, but the eponymous cake was offered by Jim to Jazza for being intemperate about chasing him for the rent.
His pal was quick to cash in, persuading the prof to let Tracy and Chelsea stay for a couple of nights until their boiler was fixed.
Chelsea was appalled at the tiny telly, lack of full-length mirror and having to be up and dressed by 7:30, but was chastened after being ticked off by Jazza.
She thanked Jim for letting them stay until the weekend before snapping,
"What are you looking like that at me, Mum? I can do nice for a few days, can't I?"
Alice ended up speaking to a child about childcare and custody, who actually turned out to be her solicitor.
Roisin advised Alice against ceding being the primary carer and agreeing to anything now that she might regret later.
And Chelsea and Jim gave each other a reality check about reality TV. The teenager told the prof he spoke like a spell check and was a
genius
at spotting which contestants were frauds.
You certainly don't need to be a genius to work out that Kirsty would be perfect for the rewilding job, but that hadn't even occurred to either Rex or Phoebe.
After resisting Alice's suggestion to invite Amy out, Rex and Miss PPE sounded out Miss Miller.
But Kirsty announced she was off to take up a hotel manager's job in Plovdiv. You know, the cultural capital of Bulgaria. Keep up.
As Kate would say, it's all been a bit wacky woo this week.
But Quentin,
yes.
that was a week in Ambridge. Your voice is sounding a bit troubled. How are you today? How has your week been?
Well, I am speaking to you in splendid isolation, Philippa.
Oh.
Because on Thursday evening, I got the dreaded two red lines on a lateral flow test. So, yes, I'm all alone. But I'm in good company because just before we started recording, it was announced that the Queen has got a mild dose of COVID as well. So forgive me if I'm not quite so fast on the draw this week. But, yes, I'm all alone.
Oh, no.
Until at least Hopefully I'll be out by Wednesday.
Quentin, you've got me. You've got Dum-de-dum.
I have. I expect to help you through. I expect, wagons of lemon drizzle cake to be delivered to my doorstep out of sympathy. But getting me through this isolation, I have to say, and I got you into it, I was watching Big Jet TV on the internet during Storm Eunice. He was just a delight to watch. I couldn't pull myself away. Neither could millions of people. This is the guy who goes top of his truck. He does it every week, but he decided to film all the big jets coming into Heathrow. And he just got 250,000 people virtually watching him live, and over the course of his entire stream, got over 5 million watching, and he was all over the media the next day. And he's my new man crush, I think. Jerry and Jilly, his sidekick, absolutely brilliant. He's a total natural. If he's not snapped up by somebody, then it'll be a travesty. Look out for him on voiceovers and stuff like that. But that was a highlight for me, and I got you watching as well, didn't I?
Thanks. I was having a busy day working, and then your message was like, look at this. And then the day just seemed to go, and I was watching aeroplanes land in wind, which I, up till 5 minutes before, I wouldn't have said was my favourite subject. No. But yeah, so thanks. Once I've done all of this, I need to catch up on the work I have yet to do. But I've been awake since 4 a.m. today, convinced I have a spider in my ear. I can just feel it moving around. It's awful. And then
it's an earworm, isn't it? Been listening to some dodgy music.
Well, a friend of mine, their daughter, kept saying, oh, there's something in my ear. And they were like, no, it's absolutely fine. She, no, there really is something. So in the end, the father had a look, and he said to the mother, just get me some tweezers. And he pulled out an earwig from inside her ear. So since I heard that, forevermore now, when I get a funny feeling in my ear, I'm like, oh my goodness, there's something in there. So yes, I've been awake since 4 a.m. wondering what is crawling in my ear.
Right. We're a couple of old crocs, aren't we? I've got COVID and you've got an earwig in your ear.
Or just my imagination in my ear, I think. But never mind. Anyway.
That's a good tune. Right.
That's enough about us. Let's get on to the important bit, which is you, our caller inners.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
And first of all, we have Catherine, who is concerned about the law of the land.
Hi, Dum-de-dum, it's Catherine. Anyone else find the actor who played the lawyer absolutely appalling? I think my worst line was when she said, put the little mite, called about the baby being Martha, called a little mite or something. Put the little mite here. Honestly, I could have done better acting than that, and I'm no actor. It was so wooden. And also, since when has anyone talked about custody? I know about, I don't know, three sentences about family law, and that's all I know. They haven't used the word custody for thousands of years. So really uncharacteristically bad research. Also, please, the thing with Kate working at the rewilding isn't going to happen, because it'd be just too infuriating and not in a good way. And isn't that strange, the way they keep having people doing stuff so behind the scenes? Kirsty going off to Bulgaria with no hint of it or anything like this. A pity. I'd have really enjoyed Kirsty being in the rewilding project. So let's hope it all goes wrong in Bulgaria. Bye.
Thank you, Catherine. Sounding very husky, because she normally gives us a time check, doesn't she, when she phones in. Apparently this week it was 3 a.m. I said, why are you phoning in at 3 a.m? She was hungry. She'd gone out for a Chinese meal that hadn't filled her up enough, apparently. So when you're hungry at 3 a.m., you phone in Dumpty Dum.
Perfect.
So she's not impressed, is she, really, by the solicitor scene? And I wasn't either. She's not alone. I mean, I honestly, as I said in the roundup, I thought she was talking to a kid, teenager, and then suddenly she's giving her advice about divorce and all this. And interestingly, I noticed on Twitter, because you know that's where I, well, I mean, now mm-hmm. I'm in splendid isolation. I'm in the company of my virtual friends. There's somebody on Twitter called Loam Lindy 12. She's a retired lawyer, and she posts lovely pictures of her walks with her on her dog walks in South Devon. Anyway, she was not happy with this as a retired lawyer. She's described the scene as robotic clips rattling through process, referring to custody, snort, she said, allowing baby into meeting, no mention of collaborative law. A dreadful, clearly planting seeds that Martha should, could live primarily with Alice. absolute crap, poor sacker Alice. So there you go, Catherine. You got
what a great summary
on your side there, knows her stuff. I mean, Catherine knows a bit about this. She's been a magistrate for many years as well. So, yeah, that was not a convincing scene. Were you convinced, Philippa?
No, not at all. And then the pause when she was appraising Martha before she somehow came out with the fact that Martha was pretty. That sounded weird. And the solicitor is played by a really good actress as well. Cherylee Houston, who plays Izzy Armstrong in Coronation Street, for those of you who are Corrie fans. So I just don't understand. But yet, because Brian and Jennifer would hire the most senior lawyer, the one that costs, I don't know how much, an hour. So why they've got Roisin, I don't know. And Drinkwater, that just the surname made me a bit sceptical. I didn't know if they'd been listening to Anon of Ambridge with that. But I was thinking, Roisin was talking about a good mediator in Felbersham. Who is this good mediator? So I was doing my research. Not many to choose from. There could be Iftikhar Shah, who was Freddie's maths tutor. But then, this is terrible news, Pip graduated from Felbersham University. Can you imagine Pip as the mediator? I would actually pay money to listen to that because it would be so awful. But there aren't many people in the Archers who are Felbersham based. So Iftikhar is potentially one, and Pip's link of graduating, but I just think that would be awful. So Catherine, thank you so much. That just made me laugh a lot, as your calls always do. But we need to go on and we need to listen to our Brian, who is shocked by a move.
Hello all, it's Brian. Hope you're keeping well after the storm. Rex seems to have a very curious effect on women. We had Anisha, who disappeared off to Newmarket. Now Phoebe's disappearing off to north of Glasgow. And now, with the merest hint of Kirsty working with him, she's off to Bulgaria. It's a pig, isn't it? It's the smell of the pigs. Yeah. Poor old Rex. Don't get much luck. It would be a shame to lose Kirsty. We'll see if it happens, but does sound like it is. But we didn't get much heads up about it, did we? No scenes of her buying Frey's books in the vintage shop or getting from the library or anything like that, or checking travel websites to booking flights. But there we are. Well, I hope it doesn't happen. But in real life, I could quite see it be a reasonable thing for her to do. I think that's about all I've got today. Yeah, have a good week. Nice to talk to you. Okay. Bye for now.
Oh, thanks, Brian. Yes, nice to hear from you again. Great to have your calls coming in. Shocked by Kirsty going, I think we all were. I just hope that the actor wasn't a shock for her as well, because that would have been pretty bad.
Yeah, I thought about that. Yes.
Yes, just here's the script for today. All right. Oh, but
you,
I think...
You won't need any others, yeah.
Yes. Yes, you haven't got next week's. I think we need to start learning some Bulgarian, though. So I was looking up. Dobda den is good day, and strasti is hi, and kafko stava is what's up. So there we go. We need to start learning this so that we can still have Kirsty around.
What's Bulgarian for flapjack then?
Zdradi flappy
jacky
grava. I think I've just offended about 3 billion people, but anyway.
What is the Archer's obsession with Bulgaria? Why is everybody going to Bulgaria? The whole of Europe to go for. It's all Bulgaria, I suppose, the Lexi connection, yeah?
Yes, exactly. And it was nice to have that connection, but we like Kirsty, we like Lexi, so it's a shame that they're not there. But yeah, as Brian says, Rex has no luck in love. Maybe he smells of pigs. It's just a bit... isn't he? He's a bit beige, bless him.
Well, what about, it's not just Rex, it's Roy. I mean, Roy is really, he's losing women as well. I mean, in fact, Rex made reference to it. It says Roy is losing two of his favourite women at the same time. Kirsty and Phoebe, and now he's also already lost Lexi. Poor old Roy.
Who do you think out of Rex and Roy dresses the most boringly?
Ooh.
I think Rex, because Roy has his awful dad Hawaiian t-shirts or shirts that he wears sometimes to go clubbing.
Well, I was going to say casual or work clothes.
Oh, okay, casual.
Rex, yeah. Yeah. Well, as he said in the Valentine's night, that he'd rather just stay in watching NFL, really, and in the company of somebody he doesn't have to explain himself to. So why would he dress up?
Bless. But thanks, Brian. That was great. And now we go on to Rob, who called in on Monday with his view on the Valentine's Day event in the Bull.
Good evening, Quentin, Philippa and everybody else in Dumpty Dumland. Well, it's finally over. The Valentine's Day event at the Bull has been done and dusted. And Jolene says they'll do it again. So this idea of everybody meeting up somebody else that they've never met before, what are they going to do next? Oh, well, I must admit I did have a moment of doubt when Cecil apparently was paying for a half a lager in 5p. Now, I do know that there are ridiculously low limits on British coinage, but it turns out anything up to £5 you can spend in 5p, unless it's £10 a pint in the Bull, you'd be getting away with it. Alice giving Amy dating advice. Is she worried about the Cramie Amis speculation? If she listens to Dumpty Dum, it could be a possibility. Alice saying, I was really hoping she'd meet someone special tonight in the only pub they ever go to, filled with the only people they ever meet. Yeah. And Kate, is she totally delusional or supremely Machiavellian? The way she manoeuvred Peggy tonight into drafting, if not actually writing a reference, was masterly. But Spiritual Hold did work brilliantly, and it cost only getting her pension-age parents evicted. Personally, I'd have preferred the lecture on horse gas. See you later.
Thank you, Rob. Well, I learned something there. I didn't know you could pay up to £5 in 5p.
No, there we are. That's a lot of 5p.
That's a lot of 5p. How many is it? 100? You'd be walking with a sort of slant, wouldn't you, with that weight in your pocket, going up to the bar. I suppose every village has characters like that. I mean, it's frustrating enough being at the bar anyway, isn't it? There's a real technique to getting served at the bar. I'm hopeless at it. Because I can be standing there and somebody can come in, I don't know, 5 minutes after me and get served before me. And what's that about? I mean, it's all about body language. I'm sure you've got to look aggressive. I mean, you can't even wave a £10 in the night in the air anymore, isn't it? It's all you need to swipe your phone. So, I mean, what is the trick to getting served quickly at the bar? I think you've got to look threatening.
These days, don't you just order on an app anyway? You don't even go up anymore to the bar. And you are a global superstar, Quentin. You should be served before anybody else.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
It's outrageous.
So if anybody's got any tips how to get served quickly at the bar, I'm all ears, seriously, because I'm hopeless at it. There was a flaw, wasn't there, to what he calls the Valentine's Massacre. It's a small village. Everybody knows each other anyway. Yeah. And this has been pointed out by many of our listeners. But a little bit of dramatic license. Of course, we all want to know more about how much Sabrina overshared with Rex, her embarrassing moment. Even you, Philippa, I think you could spare.
Oh, I do. Yes, I'm in for that.
Right.
Yeah.
You might blush a bit, but it's worth
well,
it.
Well, there we
get
go.
Get some colour to your cheeks.
I was interested. We had the speed dating in the pub, but we also had the speed wooing of Peggy by Kate. I mean, it was in record time that she convinced her that she was the best one for the job. I don't know. I wondered, there's got to be something into it. Is Kate poisoning or over-medicating Peggy? Is Peggy encouraging Kate because she thinks if she has that job as well, she'll move out of Peggy's home so she gets
Well, there was
the
another
space.
Theory during the rounds. That Peggy is actually doing a double bluff. She's giving Kate enough rope. I don't think she is. I think she won around in about half an hour.
Normally you hear that in Peggy's voice when she's doing the double bluff. You can hear that slight edge, the slight grit to it. But this just seemed all Hilda fluff, I thought.
Yes, and she was asking some really perceptive questions initially, wasn't she, Peggy? And I thought, here she goes. She's going to really pick her apart here and reveal her fraudulent intentions. But no, the more she opened her mouth, the more, that is, Kate, the more that Peggy seemed convinced. And as I said, within half an hour, off they were, trotting off to go and see Rex. It's entirely your decision, Rex, entirely your decision. The money's got nothing to do with it. Oh, yeah, sure.
But wonderful. We just can't wait to hear this car crash. But anyway, Rob, thank you. That was a great call. And now we go on to another great call, which is Jen, our Ambridge Pony Club, who has thanks to give and warnings to flag up.
Greetings, Quentin, Philippa, and all you lovely people in Dumpty Dumland. Just calling in to say thank you so much for the messages after last week, and what a lovely community this is to be part of. After all that intense emotional drama with Kirsty, we get a silly week. I enjoy a silly week on the Archers, and I love Kate. I'm one of those. She's so awful. She's gone past awful and into good. Myself and Buggy Squires have the same take on Peggy. We both saw her as the mafia don of the Aldridge clan, sitting at the back of the interview making sure that Rex knew the correct decision to make, but he didn't take the hint. I think he's going to be getting a lemon drizzle cake on his pillow, and he better watch out, or one of Peggy's boys, one of her henchmen, maybe Timotei, is going to be giving him a seeing to, and he'll be found duffed up in a culvert. So, all very good until that horrible discordant chord right there at the end, where we were denied a happy ending for Kirsty at the last minute. Very upset with BBC The Archers about that. They better reverse that. Send Roy, send Amy, send someone else over to Bulgaria. Get Lexi back. She can have Kirsty's job at Grey Gables. Let Kirsty take the rewilding. It's the only way to go.
Thank you, Jen. Yes, Kate is past awful and is now good. I agree. I love this idea of a lemon drizzle cake left on Rex's pillow. Excellent. Oh, I'm sorry that Kirsty is going, but Ambridge has not been kind to her. So I can understand why it's the right thing for her to move on. But no wonder she wants to go. She's bored. The highlight of her week has been counting trees. I mean, it's not like you're... You know, unless she's speeding by in a fast car and needing to really focus, it's just one, two, you know, it's very boring. What will the impact be, though, on Helen of Kirsty going? Yes, Helen's still got Ian and Adam, but Kirsty's been her rock. She's got her through a lot. And it will be interesting to see how she reacts to all of this.
Well, in a way, Jen has potentially come up with a solution to make sure Kirsty doesn't get to Bulgaria, because she tweeted at Jen_J Stephen that she said, travel to Bulgaria for work. Does Kirsty earn more than 1.5 times the average wage? Does she have a bachelor's degree? Needs one to get an EU blue card? Snell sniff, she then adds. So maybe Jen has worked out a cunning ruse to make sure Kirsty is thwarted to going to Bulgaria to take up this shift manager's job in a hotel.
Well, that's interesting. Yes. There you go.
See?
Now
see,
we know.
The things you learn on Twitter, Philippa, you see.
The time that just speeds by as well when you're on Twitter.
The time thievery that goes on, yes. But it's an interesting scenario, because if Roy does bring back Lexi from Bulgaria, as Jen says, she could take over Kirsty's job at Great Gables, and then Kirsty gets a rewilding job. So she's got it all sorted out. Nice one, Jen.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I love it. And I love the idea of Peggy being the mafia don.
Annabelle Dallow's got a fantastic new acting gig and she needs to get away for a bit.
Yeah. Yes, and at least she's not, you know, gone forever, potentially. She can come back and visit and come back with Lexi. So hopefully there'll still be some contact with
her.
When
was the last time we heard from Lexi there?
That's true.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
Anyway, thank you, Jen. Great call. And next we have Bill in Ukraine, who is calling to answer Quentin's question.
This is Bill Brown, Bill in Ukraine. Greetings, Quentin, Philippa, and Dumpty Dummers. Oh my, you asked for a description of what life is like here in Ukraine. In 2 minutes, I'll do my best. Actually, it's quiet and normal in Kyiv right now. Life goes on. First, I must, my hosts, correct you. It is Ukraine, not the Ukraine. The Ukraine means the region. Ukraine means the country. Trust me on this, I'm an English teacher. I've tried in vain to get my Ukrainian students to listen to the Archers. Village life does not excite them, maybe because they know all about it. Everyone seems to have family or roots in the village. They have experience with working in the garden, with livestock, preparing food. canning and so forth. No lemon drizzle cake, but they have their own delicacies. But you want to hear about the gathering war clouds. There's a striking difference of opinion inside and outside Ukraine. Outside, they say attack is imminent. Inside, Ukrainians say it won't happen. They know Putin, they say, and he is just angling for a better bargaining position. This week, they are less sure. But what can they do? Only wait and see. Personally, I'll be relocating to the western city of Lviv. I spent yesterday separating my belongings into two piles, things I can carry, things to abandon. Not a pleasant task. I'm more concerned about my students and friends than with me. Most of my students are young adults with young children, and they just want to get on with their lives. Most have good jobs, such as working in the thriving IT industry. These folks are the ones who long to live as you do in the West. They are the ones behind the drive to become aligned with Western Europe and escape the baleful Soviet-style Russian system. And that drives the Russians mad, as you can see.
Oh, and at the end of his call, Bill contacted me because he wanted to add a sentence on, which he wanted me to do in either his voice or Peggy's. Well, Bill, there's no way I can do your voice. I can barely do Peggy's. So I will say goodbye and thank you, dum-de-dummers.
Can I have Philippa back now, please?
It was good, wasn't it?
Well, thank you, Bill, for responding to my request for some insight about what it's like to be inside the country at the moment. You've got a lot on your plate, and for you to spare the time, we really appreciate that. And thank you for that clarification. Ukraine is the country, and as you say, the Ukraine is the region. That's something I didn't know, and that's very useful. It's a bit like that less fewer clarification. As soon as it's flagged up, you notice it. Now my ear is tuned to the fact it should be referred to as Ukraine. And in fact, I think I was the only one who's got it wrong so far. Everybody else has been getting it right. So we really wish you well when you're relocating to Lviv, and I hope that goes okay for you. And what you say correlates with what we've been hearing, that Ukrainians inside the country don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, this week it seems to have changed a bit, and we got, you know, our prime ministers talking about the the biggest war since 1945. I invariably don't believe a word he says normally, and I sincerely hope he's wrong on this one, and that he is, in fact, genuinely telling an untruth, because we don't want that to happen, do we? So, Bill, look after yourself. Thank you very much indeed for getting in touch, and I wish you well in trying to persuade your students to get into the Archers.
Yes, I did contact Bill just to check how he was doing, just for a bit of an update. And he is now in Lviv, which is where a lot of embassies have moved to. So he's safer than he was. But of course, having to decide which belongings to take and which to leave, and concerned about, as he said, about his students. It's humbling to just hear that firsthand from Bill. We're just... keep in touch, Bill, because we've been...
And Ukraine have got annoyed with the West for fanning what they say are the flames. And we ought to listen to the Ukrainians themselves more, I think, in how to handle it. But let's hope the portent that our Prime Minister is warning us about doesn't come to be, let's hope.
Bill, thank you for your call. Keep us posted, please, and we are thinking of you. Now we go to Matthew from Coventry, who needs to take Peggy to task.
Greetings, Dumpty Dummers. This is Matthew Horsepool from Coventry. And it's been a bizarre few weeks in the Archers, and I haven't really had much to say other than it's been a bizarre few weeks, so I've refrained from commenting. But Wednesday's episode was very interesting and gave me two things to comment on. First of all, the interaction between Alice and the solicitor made for uncomfortable listening, because obviously we want the divorce to be amicable, and well, certainly I want the divorce to be amicable, and it sounds like the solicitor may in fact make things less amicable than they otherwise would be. That said, I can see how the solicitor is technically right. She's out, you know, she's got to look out for Alice's best interests, and Alice may not know what her best interests are at the moment, so I suppose better to get it out of the way now rather than Alice regret it in 5 years' time. But there were plenty of times when I just went, oh, look, just let it go, would you? The thing that annoyed me even more, however, was Peggy and Kate and Rex, and just Peggy saying, no, I'm not going to influence this at all, and pretend that I'm not there, and then prompting and asking questions and telling Rex how wonderful Kate's ideas were. And I just, if you're going to be objective about something, then be objective about it. If you're going to be subjective about it, then be subjective about it. And there wouldn't really have been anything wrong with it. I mean, there would, but there wouldn't have been so much wrong with it if Peggy had just said, look, I really want granddaughter to get this job. Is there any chance that she and I can have a meeting? And I mean, that would have been annoying, but fine. But it was just the way she just, interjected. And this is a meeting between you and Kate, and you and Kate only. Oh, but I'm going to keep sticking my word. I did not think that Peggy performed very well at all.
Oh, Matthew from Coventry. Matthew with the lovely voice. Matthew, I'm sure you introduced the Archers one day this week. It sounded just like you. Anyway, yes. Chris, I think Chris will be fine until he realises that Martha isn't going to be with him full time. You know, I can see Alice getting at least part time. We can just see it. It's going to blow up. And that's the reason why Alice had her while Chris was ill, to realise that she can look after Martha and maybe start to fight for her. And Chris is going to get angry. And then I think he's going to say, right, this is war in Ambridge, at least. And I'm going to go for the money and everything. So in trying to help Alice have more access to Martha, the solicitor is creating a much worse situation, potentially, I think, and certainly financially. I don't think there'll be any more scenes with Brian and Neil, you know, oh, send Chris our love. No, I think it'll be daggers drawn.
Having said that, the child solicitor probably was making a valid point that she shouldn't admit everything straight away. She has to give herself, yes, some bargaining room as well. So that struck me as sensible advice.
But you don't know if Alice is if she ends up with a lot of time of looking after Martha, that might jeopardise Alice's recovery as well. Certainly being a mum pressurised her even more. So, you know, again, what is right for Alice? What is right for Martha? Just because she's a mum, should she automatically have lots of access? I don't know, but I'm not saying that's automatically
Alice
the best route.
Was all for admitting everything was her fault, wasn't she? Which seemed to be, it is,
Which
but
it Ro- is,
Roisin
to
was
be
saying,
fair.
just wrote back on that a bit. But there's a thing, I don't know about the law, but there's a thing called collaborative approach to all this, which the lawyers amongst our listeners are getting very hot under the collar about. So I don't think she'd be being given entirely rounded advice, I think, was also the feeling from child Roisin. But Matthew also wasn't happy about Peggy, was he? That whole scenario with
no.
So she was very manipulative, wasn't she? For poor old Rex, Peggy.
I mean, it was completely out of character for her to be encouraging Kate, something we all know she will be completely unsuccessful at. So I didn't understand that. And she'd been quite perceptive lately.
Yes.
So a bit strange.
Yes, but don't worry, there'll be a synergy of energies. That's all we need to get us through.
Maybe we're just being led down a path and then there'll be a big reveal in the next few weeks. So maybe it's a longer term.
I don't think Kate's going to do it. I tell you, another strong candidate is Adam. It hurts me to say this, but he would be a very strong candidate if Kirsty doesn't come back from Bulgaria.
Yeah, and Claire from Clapham coming up has got some interesting
things to say about Adam as well.
So,
yes. Thank you, Matthew.
Great call. We'll have some more of your calls in a moment. In fact, we have a call from New York, Nigel. Hooray! So stand by for that. But if you're listening to this thinking, I'd like to record a message and I wonder how to do it, here's how.
Yes, please. We are the People's Podcast. That is our shameless claim. Entirely predicated on having people in it. So the people are you, our Dumpty Dummers. We rely on you getting in touch and taking part. Whether you're a first-time, occasional, or even a regular caller in a row, we love hearing from you. The best way for you to record a message or a plot prediction is to go to this link. It's speakpipe.com/dumptydum. You'll also find a link in the show notes. Don't forget the T in the middle. It's dumptydum. It's ever so easy. You can have as many goes as you like, so don't worry. Also have a look at our pinned tweet on the Dumpty Dum Twitter account, where you'll find all the details of how to leave us a message. We normally record at 12 noon on a Sunday, so please try and get your calls in no later than that. And as we said, please do keep your call to a maximum of 2 minutes, and you've got to be at least 18 to take part.
Now, we need your help. There are three things you can do. First of all, if you haven't already, if you could hit the subscribe button on your podcast app and consider giving us a 5-star review, it would be a huge help in the battle of the podcast algorithms. Secondly, if you can write a nice review, can find the time to do that, well, that helps even more. And we need to say a huge thank you so much to TT Brown for your fabulous review entitled "I Didn't Even Really Like Podcasts Before."
And neither did we, Philippa? But there you go. Thank you, TT Brown. Also to MCF Collie 251618, whose normal name is Phil Persham, for their wonderfully kind review entitled "Telling It Like It Is."
Thank you so much, both of you. And finally, the third thing is that you could consider becoming a Patreon. Patreon is a way of tipping creators, and there are different levels with different rewards. If you just go to patreon.com and search for Dumpty Dum, we would be chuffed to bits to have your support. And as Quentin mentioned, there will be a film next month of Stephen making a Dumpty Dum tune, and it is phenomenal. Back to our calls. And next we have Dusty Substances, who is questioning the faith of Fallon.
Hello, it's Dusty Substances here, the wrong sort of listener, and probably missed the deadline for the recording of the podcast, but here goes. I was catching up with a few episodes the other day and was quite surprised to hear Fallon having a panic about whether Harrison, on the basis of wanting to find out more about the Christian faith and being drawn to it, would suddenly want to become a vicar. I mean, that doesn't really happen, does it? I mean, people find faith or don't find faith all the time. And the ones that do find faith don't suddenly want to become a vicar. That's really weird. I mean, it's weird enough, Shula wanting to be a vicar. Don't get me started on that one again. But really, that was just such an extreme reaction. Is she secretly very frightened of it for some reason? Absolutely baffled. Anyway, that was probably all I was going to say. I mean, as much as anything else, Harrison could probably go along to an alpha course and think, stuff this for a game of soldiers. I mean, people do. But to become a vicar, I mean, how weird is that? Anyway, just a thought. So that's me done, and speak to you soon. Bye.
Oh, thanks, Dusty. Lovely to hear from you as ever. That one came, I think, just after our last recording. So, and Dusty has been on the stage, isn't she? Treading the boards, well, behind the scenes, being an assistant director, I think. So she's doing a lot of catching up on the Archers. So she's obviously caught up with the Fallon Harrison storyline, and I share her frustration. I mean, the leap from somebody considering getting baptized to actually wearing a dog collar is ridiculous, and Fallon has overreacted entirely to that. And I know she has offended quite a few people, quite a few listeners along the way, because of her overreaction and slight dismissive, well, right, very dismissive attitude about it all. So yeah, I'm with you on this, Dusty. I mean, the guy hasn't even got baptized yet, let alone gone off to be ordained. So, Dusty, as ever, you're the right type of listener, really, because you get it right nearly all the time. We're with you, Dusty. Catch up, and then we can have an even more topical call from you.
Yeah, it's weird. Dusty's right. Why haven't they mentioned just going on an alpha course? That would be far more sensible. But yeah,
What is an alpha course? Sorry, forgive me.
Oh, an alpha course is like a basic chat. Well, it's a series of meetings. It's a way of exploring whether you want to go to church or not. So it's run all across the world, actually. And it's a series of meetings. You go along and each week you learn something different about the church, the Bible, about your faith. You get to chit chat, you get to eat biscuits. And it's just a way of people thinking through whether they do want to explore their Christian faith more.
There's a lot to unpick there, but obviously the most important element is biscuits.
And meals. Sometimes you get meals as well. Yes.
Oh, I thought it might have been a course where you can learn to be an alpha male.
than Fallon might be sending Harrison on that. Yeah, I mean, Fallon's just frightened of everything to do. She's got an inferiority complex, that girl. When he was saving money, she thought, oh dear. When she thought he was putting all the money in the house, oh dear. When she didn't want to have children and he did, oh dear. It's just all the time. He can swim better in the river. He can save better. And now he can pray better. So there we go.
And gets biscuits.
And he's not going. That's what he needs. He needs to go on an Alpha call, get a biscuit, have a chat.
Have an Eccles cake even. Yeah.
Well, another weird thing this week. I didn't know that Chasey calls Jazz a jazz all the time. I kept thinking about that. Was it in the 90s, that song, The Only Way Is Up? But that was, that was Yaz, not Jazz. Okay, no, yeah. Forget about that one. Oh, well.
Almost. I liked your thinking. Almost, not quite, Philip.
Definitely got to get that on a T-shirt.
That'll be in the Dumpty Dum shop next week, yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much, Dusty Substances. And now let's go on to New York Nigel. Hooray, who is back and has much to catch us up on.
Greetings, P&Q and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's New York Nigel here calling in after much too long a break. First of all, thanks so much to everybody for keeping everything going despite all of these unusual pandemic-y circumstances. We've had a bit of a rough ride of it here in New York. We lost several members of the church and our finances have taken a bit of a knock, like probably they have for most people because of this pandemic. Now, just a couple of things to get me back into the swing. First of all, no wonder the silent characters are silent. They make life in New York look really boring. Barry and Sabrina and Richard and Cecil Jackson, they seem to have much more interesting lives than, I don't know, Peggy rearranging a wall plates or sad sack Rex staying in and watching the NFL. You know, I'd love to hear Barry crunching on his crickets or Molly Button snogging Brad Horribin on the school bus, or Richard Thwaite groaning while tying his tie, standing on his head. I wonder if that's a euphemism anyway. I think I'd rather like an Archers where Ruth and Will and Pip became the silent ones. Actually, come to think of it, who would we like to be a silent character instead of a speaking character? Anyway, secondly, I'm running out of time. I've got a lot to say about Harrison's projected baptism, but I think that's going to have to be saved until the story comes back. So, bye for now. Good to be back. Cheers.
Oh, New York Nigel, great to have you back. Great to hear your voice again. That
is fantastic.
Oh, that's just happy days. I'm so sorry that you've been having a rough ride. It sounds very difficult indeed. Just thrilled that you are back with us. Yes, the silent characters. I totally agree about Ruth, Will and Pip. I love the way New York Nigel says the word Pip as if, you know, just Pip, just, yeah. Fabulous. I'd love to hear from Terry Two Phones. I've just got this idea that he's a real Del Boy of a character. But who would I like to be silent? Well, it's got to be Helen. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm agreeing with the Ruth, Will and Pip. We're already part those in the, can they be silent?
No, you've got to choose one. Come on, one.
Oh, well, no, because
it can't be.
Nigel's already said Ruth, Will and Pip. So I'm with him. I'm agreeing on that. And I'm adding Helen. Because
so we can add, can't we?
Yes, we're adding Helen.
Yep, she's on my list.
Yeah. I think Hannah, I mean, if Hannah's going to pick on my Neil, then Hannah can be silent straight away. You're out, dear. But if she's going to pick on somebody else, like Martin or Brian, then I will permit her to speak words.
No, I like Hannah. She's due to be coming back next week. She really stirs the pot, that one, I think.
Yeah, but not with Neil. Nobody should stir the pot with
Neil. Don't like
Neil.
Her being nasty to Neil.
Exactly.
The rest of it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, she can help herself.
Yeah, fantastic to hear from New York Nigel again after such a long time. A great picture on Facebook. Witherspoon posted a picture. He went off up to see him, didn't he? And there's a lovely photo of the two of them. And lo and behold, Nigel is there on Dumpty Dum a few days later. He's very naughty for a vicar, isn't he, Nigel? I like a naughty vicar.
He's great.
Now, he asks, who would we put in the silent cupboard. Back in the day, I would have said Susan. I know, because I couldn't stand her for ages. I mean, sometimes I would switch the radio off sometimes if she and Emma were going hammer and tongs. I couldn't take it anymore. Not now. Not now. I've become a huge admirer of Charlotte Martin's skill as a radio actor and the layers she brings to the part, particularly brilliant, I thought, during the monologue. So, no, Susan would not be one of my silents. I'm with you on Helen. I wouldn't miss her. I won't be missing Phoebe when she goes north of Glasgow, I have to say. And I'd, no surprise here, I'd be happy to see the back of all that moaning and huffing and puffing from Adam as and when it does eventually return. We can't have a too happier an Adam for too long. So that's my list, New York, Nigel.
What's your view on Lily?
Lily, well, she's going back to, she's going to Felpersham Uni, isn't she? So new gear change. I hot and cold with Lily. Sometimes it just drives me nuts. Other times, oh, I like her. She's got aspects to her that make her interesting. I can see why she's annoying, though. Yeah, I can. Can I just say one more thing about New York Nigel? Because I'd looked on his Facebook page, and I noticed that he's originally from Stone in Staffordshire. And I do wonder, Nigel, whether you know the Ward family, because my great-aunt Lillian Ward, lived to the ripe old age of 110. And we celebrated her 110th birthday in 2019. Sadly, she's no longer with us. But I do wonder, since Nigel comes from Stone in Staffordshire, whether he's heard of the Ward family. W-A-R-D, be fascinated to know. But great to hear from you, Nigel. More, please. More, please.
Yes, can't wait to hear from you again. And now we go on to Kevin from Dorset, who called in on Tuesday and has some new bedtime reading.
Hello, it's Kevin from Dorset here, currently in Nina Island. First time caller in era and on Paul's accountant. This is my Archer's vintage. The first time I remember getting hooked was when Jack Woolley was attacked by lynx in the country park, giving to quite a cliffhanger ending. My vintage by rivals must be Nigel when he was going out with Shula, although this happened the same year as Marjorie Antrobus turning up. I took a bit of time off when the Helen and Rob stuff took over and got too intense, but otherwise I've been listening ever since. I'm loving the new Happy Adam, which must be a great relief for the actor. But the other thing I have to say is that Kate would be a disaster, and last night she started talking Peggy round. A disaster, that is, if she joins the rewilding. She's totally self-centred and never listens to anybody. Whilst browsing in a charity shop, I found a book called The Archers of Ambridge. So at bedtime, I'm back worrying about George Fairbrother's mining plans and Phil's on and off relationship with Grace.
Well, wow, Kevin, he's got some vintage, hasn't he, Philippa? Wow, he listed all those ancient characters who he's still got fond memories of, and he's reading Archers of Ambridge. So he's very confused because he's going back in time, and then he's right up he's up with it with the new Happy Adam, which he's loving. I take your point, Kevin. Actually, the actor must be enjoying the gear change that the character that the script writers have given him, because he really was just stuck in, I was going to say second, stuck in first, wasn't he, Adam? How long would it last? We don't know. But as I said, I think he might be a strong candidate for the rewilding. Kate, of course, would be a disaster. We all know that. But that's why we're enjoying it, really, because, I mean, do you think she might start it and then realise that it's completely...
Yes, I want to hear more of it
she
going
can't
horribly
the compost
wrong.
Lose and
she's got such confidence. I wish I had her confidence. Even when she's awful at something, she thinks she's amazing.
Yeah, total self-belief.
Yes.
And as Jen said just now, I mean, she's gone beyond awful. I mean, she's awfully good now. I mean, I got a bit stick, didn't I, on our new Instagram account, because I did say that I'm strangely drawn to the Aldridge family, and I did confess to having a bit of a crush on Kate. I think I use the word lust. There is something really quite sexy about her. I don't know why, because
Quentin, she's terrible. If it's gone to your brain, you need to know.
But I mean, what I mean is Kate, she's an interesting character is what I'm saying. I mean, it would not be a dull night of passion with Kate. She's always interesting. She's always interesting. And that's why we love and hate her, and she's awful, but we would miss her. Great to hear from you, Kevin. First time caller in from Dorset. We're gradually building up a following in the Southwest, I think, Philippa.
We are. I'm sorry. I know you go on about how Kate would be amazing, but judging how she thinks she's amazing at everything and isn't, I think you might be slightly disappointed with that, Quentin.
Well, I can but dream, can't I? I'm in isolation. God, I've got to preoccupy myself with something.
Oh, no, that's really bad. Everyone sent help. He's hallucinating. I love the fact that Kate turned up late for the interview that wasn't an interview, for the chat. And her comment was, you need better pass. It's hard to walk. I mean, what is Kate's vision for financial sustainability? I presume it's a cheque signed by her father. I think that she's close to having to close spiritual homes because it is making no money whatsoever. And this is the way she thinks she can save it, by merging the two, so that she's got, she can spread her costs, she can get some money and move it across. So, you know, whenever has Kate stepped up and delivered? Never. So I want to hear it all unravelling.
She doesn't know what she's talking about, does she?
No, and long may it continue. But Kevin, thank you very much for your call. And now we go to Claire from Clapham, who suggests someone else goes to Bulgaria.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here, looking out on Storm Eunice and glad that I'm inside. Well, it's been an interesting week, hasn't it? I'm not going to be the only person to say, oh my God, how awful is Kate? And I've seen theories that Peggy's playing a clever game by seeming to champion Kate whilst giving her enough rope to demonstrate quite how awful she is. I hope that's true, because, oh my goodness me, I thought it was so inappropriate. And there wasn't even a proper job interview. So I don't know what all that was about, that conversation with Rex. It didn't make any sense to me. But gosh, I do hope that Rex can find someone half decent, especially if Kirsty's leaving the country. I mean, I don't blame her. We've often thought, why is Kirsty still in Ambridge? It's just a sort of centre of hell for her. So, you know, good luck to her in Bulgaria. I miss Lexi. I wish she would bring Lexi back with her. But I wish we could send Kate to Bulgaria instead. That would be better, wouldn't it? But yes, and I don't really understand, I mean, none of us really understand what rewilding really is and how it makes money or what the point of it is. But I was interested to hear this sort of comment from Rex about that it's not a visitor attraction, it's a conservation type thing. So, but presumably it's got to make money, it's a business in some way, I don't know. I mean, I still regret, not that I'm a great fan of Adam, but I still felt that the Soil Academy was the best option for Peggy's money, and it seemed to have an obvious sort of cause and reach. But there you go, I can't be bitter about that forever, can I? Keep up the good work, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Oh, thank you, Claire from Clapham. Great call. Yes, Adam's option did seem much better. Even to me, I thought the Soil Academy sounded much better. Maybe it was just a way. Maybe Peggy's sister said, look, you need to give some money to your grandchildren, but the best way to do it to save on inheritance tax is to come up with a whiz-bang trustee scheme and do it that way, because none of it makes sense. But I suppose that's Ambridge for us. I don't know. If Kate went to Bulgaria, I would just feel very sorry for Bulgaria. I mean, poor them, what have they done to deserve her? And Brian's idea for Chris's accommodation, the rookery or the hobbit? I'm very interested in...
I loved Neil's grumbles when he was listening to that.
Yeah.
You could hear him grumbling to himself, thinking, I know what you're up to. I know what you're up to, Brian.
But Brian is saying, oh, we'll stop. We're not going to let anyone live in it until Chris has decided which one he's going to have. So they have no bookings so far. They're not cancelling anything. They've got no bookings for something that's coming up to peak booking time. How does Chris get out of the flat lease? You know, Hazel's going to be right back over, stomping and shouting, please don't let Tom jump to get to that flat. No, Chris, don't do it. Don't do it, Chris. Be strong.
That's Mother Philippa talking to you, Chris, because she's absolutely besotted with you. A great call as ever, Claire. You did wonder how on earth this, you know, rewilding is really going to work. And that's what we've all thought, haven't we? And Kate's got this idea of willow weaving, but she ought to think again, because I saw a tweet from at Goldie Levels. She knows what she's talking about because she used to plant it. And she says, I very much doubt they'd have enough land for a withy bed. It does grow very fast, but you wouldn't get much of a crop for the first couple of years. The area would depend on how much you need. Variety is quite important, though, and difficult to produce good withies organically as they need spraying against end cup. So, Kate doesn't know what she's talking about. Shock horror.
Newsflash.
Kate's making it up as she goes along. Adam, yeah, he will be a strong candidate if Kirsty doesn't come back, which he will. Kate ain't going to do, is she? She's not going to do.
Well, we'll have to see. But Claire, thank you so much for that call. Always have something. You always have something really fascinating and useful to add. So, yes, look forward to your next call. And now we go on to young Keith, who has a cake confession to make.
Hello, young Keith here. It has been a while, and I can only apologise for that. It's not a Dumpty Dum thing, once again. It's at Archer's. I've been sort of dipping in and out of Ambridge at will. But something came to my mind, and I thought I might just drop this into Dumpty Dum, which is, well, first of all, very pleased to hear the writers of Archer's bringing Eccles cake back into relevance. I love an Eccles cake, and it's a deeply, deeply underrated pastry. Not really a cake, but it's bloody good. So good on them for that. But more importantly, I was talking to my father on the telephone today, in fact, and we don't have a huge amount to talk about. So he was sort of digging into the annals of the Archers and asking me my opinions on bits and bobs. And Rory came up and he sort of mentioned, oh, well, he's making a lot of money on Bitcoin at the moment. And I was struck by a plot prediction, which apologies if someone's mentioned already, but I think there's more to that than meets the eye, because they kind of dropped in that detail that he was buying these over-the-top gifts for people, and he said that he was getting it through crypto. But do you remember when he went to a nightclub with Ben and they wouldn't let them into the VIP section, and then he sort of, in inverted commas, had a word with the doorman, and the implication was he sort of flirted with the doorman and let him in. But then he was kind of edgy about the details, and it kind of felt like he might have done something a bit more nefarious. Anyway, running out of time, so to summarise, I wonder if Rory has actually become a sex worker. Anyway, what do you think? Bye.
Keith, you are way behind because we have had this discussion, have we not, Philippa, many weeks ago.
We have.
You are not alone on this prediction, Keith. A lot of us think, we don't buy this Bitcoin theory. We think you're up to a nefarious activity, as you euphemistically call it, young Keith. So glad you're back with us. I hope you're up to speed. But yes, a lot of people agree with you that we're not sure really, or we have our concerns as to how he's raising the money. And in fact, some people think he's going to become the next baddie of Ambridge, don't they, Rory? Eccles cake. I mean, I just need to say that.
Yes, let's get on to the important bit. Come on.
I can sense you sort of pulling at the leash.
Yes.
Go. It's food. It's a cake. Go, Philippa. Munch your way through.
Okay. I have got something to announce. I have never had an Eccles cake, because when I was young, someone told me they were filled with flies.
Oh, I've heard that, yeah.
And, and a raisin isn't a treat. It's a healthy thing. So I'm just reluctant to, but yeah, I feel nice. Maybe this is a new Patreon video, Quentin. Maybe we need to have an Eccles cake. Do you like them?
Yes, I like an Eccles cake.
What do they taste of?
It tastes of flies. Taste.
Well, then the producers of Eccles cake, sorry, you need to worry about your sales, because I will not be partaking.
They're lovely raisins. I like raisins. They're really tasty. And I love the sort of crumbly pastry. Honestly, far more palatable than pickled eggs that you force me to eat. So,
yeah, that's fair.
So, get a couple of Eccles cakes. I will willingly eat my way completely through it.
Are there varying qualities of Eccles cake? You know, do I need to do my research and find a really good one?
Do you need to do your research? That's tautologist, isn't it? Because you will do your research and you probably get a couple from Fortnum and Masons or something to send to us. I'm not so picky or choosy as you. If I see a nice looking pastry, I'll eat it, you know. So
Don't tell me that you're the sort of person that buys a fruit and nut bar as well.
Oh, I like a fruit and nut bar.
What?
I like a fruit and nut bar.
Quentin, yeah. Our friendship, I don't know. Can we carry on? Can we get back?
What's wrong with a fruit and nut bar?
You're combining a delight with something that is healthy and that we were forced to eat in a little box as children. And it was just
so not, hold on.
I mean, I wasn't in a box as a child. I mean, the raisins.
So anything that's deemed healthy, you do not want in any confection?
No, because you're just merging the thing. It's confusing. So it's like having celery and
confectionery
chocolate mint.
Has to be full of ingredients that technically are bad for you before you can enjoy them. Is that right?
Well, it's conflicting me. I can't. Anyway.
A couple of Eccles cakes. Yeah, we'll do a video.
Right, we'll do that. Anyway, let's go on to our new caller in a Ian, who is full of praise for Jim.
Hello there. My name's Ian Allison. I'm a first-time caller. I just thought last week Jim's guidance to Chelsea was just absolutely Archer's gold. And also in the back of my head, I'm looking forward to Natasha's debt coming to the fore.
Oh, I think you got cut off there, Ian, but we'll take that call anyway. Yes, great to have you call in. Yes, full of praise for Jim. And I really love the fact that Jim was upfront and clear when they moved in about what he was expecting. And I think that's the better way to be. I don't think I could do that. But I just loved hearing Jim and his relationship with Chelsea as well and how he dealt with Tracy. It was just happy days. I was happy. Were you happy?
Well, I mean, any scene with Jim is lovely. And he has this ability to talk to anybody, doesn't he? Because he talks to everybody in the same way. And as a result, everybody has equal treatment. And Jim is Jim. And it's nice that somebody is as they appear. I was wondering how long he could bear hearing Chelsea keep referring to everything as literally. And I love that line. We may have to discuss the meaning of literally before you leave. There was some chitter chatter on Twitter about, you know, their arrival at Jim's house, and Lucy Tobin is great on Twitter at Miss Luby Lou said, "Ha, working class people are so funny with their big TVs and mistrust of books." And she also said, "Have you noticed that posh characters drink coffee and the lower classes tea?" To which our Catherine, who is Icod on Twitter, said, "Oh, I'm glad you agree. I found the whole thing was laboured stereotypes." And
that's true.
And I maybe think, yeah, fair point, actually, because I enjoyed the comedy. In comes Chelsea, you know, where's the mirror? Where's the big telly? Too many books. Hang a decent telly where the book should be. They slightly redeemed themselves towards the end when Jim said, I think you're a bright spark. And they both enjoyed each other's company about the reality TV scene and all that. And she said she's going to miss him. And she said she wished she'd had teachers like him at school. Mm. But, yeah, it was too easy a goal, wasn't it, that? And I take their point.
I didn't see it so much as class as just Jim is very old school and Chelsea is very, you know, new school. And it was more the clash of those two as they just worked their way through it. But no, I can completely understand that. But I liked how it was resolved. And it just shows that Jim isn't judgmental.
No, that's the word I was looking for.
And
you're
he
right.
looks for the best in people he and does. Encourages, which was he nice. Does. So
and you can see why he'd be such a good teacher as well.
Yes.
You know, Chelsea was actually listening to him. And dare I say it, you know, she listened to Russ when she helped him out with there's that one. Remember that one?
And she's passed her English retake we learned this week.
They so just that, dropped in.
Yeah, that was good. Anyway, Ian, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ian.
And our last call this week is from Daniel in St. Andrews, and he has questions about Brian.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. Daniel calling from sunny St. Andrews again. Calling again quite preemptively on a Monday, so no doubt by the end of the week, everything I'm asking and questioning will probably be old news, but I thought I'd get in early before I forget, for one thing. First of all, what's going on with Brian being so charitable and nice? If any of the listeners could chime in, maybe, or perhaps Quentin and Philippa, is there something that he's got to gain on legal grounds through being very generous and reasonable during the proceedings, or is he just trying to stay on Chris's good side? Or maybe I'm just being overly cynical and Brian's being a nice man, like we all know he really is deep down. The other thing that I'd noticed was, and I noticed this is not just an Archers thing, sort of picked up on this, and I know the BBC occasionally likes to push a message, and it'll be across various soaps and shows and things, and they'll all be pushing this same thing. I remember there was one about sepsis a while ago when Nick died. It was like an awareness campaign. And I noticed, I only thought about it in hindsight, thinking about Tracy talking about budgeting. And then I also watched Casualty, and there was a whole thing about budgeting. And I wonder, is this one of these BBC campaigns because of the price of everything going up? Is this us telling us, you know, be more sensible with your money? Don't spend it all down the ball. That's all, really. Keep up the great work. And I'm sure by the time that this goes out, everything I've said will be completely irrelevant. But nonetheless, have a good week. Bye.
Don't worry, Daniel, you're in good company. Everything we say is pretty relevant. well, I mean, Cecil is literally counting his pennies, isn't he? I mean, 5p to pay for half. Like, so I think you're reading too much into this, Daniel. I mean, when I was in the BBC, there were some cross-platform promotions. You're right, these things do happen. But not to this level, I don't think, Daniel, but you may be right. It was an early call during the week, and he was wondering what Brian was up to, and that it developed during the week. I mean, it's as good as by Tuesday, he fessed up to Jenny that he was trying to butter up Chris, so that the actual line was to generate goodwill and come to a fair and sensible settlement so that he doesn't chisel every last penny out of us. And get Chris to play nicely. That's clearly his tactic, and that's what Neil has sussed anyway. So I look forward to the scene when he actually proposes this to Chris and see whether Chris sees through it like I suspect Neil has. How do you think Chris is going to respond? Because, I mean, you know his every move, and you feel his every feeling, Chris, don't you? Do you think he'll accept Brian's offer of a rent-free cottage?
I hope not. I hope not. I hope he just turns around and says no. I'm not living in The Hobbit. Why did Brian call it The Hobbit? That's very strange to know about that. Is Brian reading Lord of the Rings? I hope so, but you never know. I wonder, Daniel, if we should all do as Rex does when he plants his seedlings, and maybe we should view Ambridge at a 45-degree angle. Maybe it'll all make more sense to us then.
I've got nothing to say.
So those are the calls, but you can also send us an email if you prefer.
Yes, if you'd rather do that, send us an email. Visit the dumtydum.com website and click the Contact Us tab at the top of the page. Please do get your calls and emails in just before 12 noon on a Sunday as we record at midday UK time. Do remember you need to be 18 or over to submit any views or comments.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And so we go from our caller innerers to our email innerers. And our first email is from Martin in Sheffield.
The subject is Chris goes to the movies. Is it just me, or is Chris guilty of impersonating a series of well-known literary characters? When he first attracted the attentions of Alice, we were put in mind of Lady Chatterley's Lover, with a romance spanning the class boundaries, and we initially expected it to blow out. Perhaps they surprised us by making a go of it, but the ultimate breakup of their marriage had us readying ourselves for a Kramer versus Kramer-style custody battle with the associated angst and the tears. And now Amy is objectively attractive, which is straight out of When Harry Met Sally, when Harry early on reflects that Sally's good looks are not really a matter of opinion. This is, of course, prior to the two of them becoming just good friends, just playing the long game, if you ask me. So here's hoping Chris suggests a sandwich and a chinwag in the tea shop and all that this may entail. I can just see Susan from a nearby table delivering the classic line, "Laura Fallon, I think I'll have what she's having." Which isn't a patch on your Susan.
Well, he's got a nice one, yeah. He's got lots of film references in there.
Yes, this is great. Love that.
Oh, people read, they read things into this script, don't they?
Well, I have a suggestion, a film suggestion. What about Harrison and the film Eat, Love, Pray? First of all, we heard him eating, then he fell in love with Fallon, and now he's looking to pray.
Very good.
Thank you. And I wondered about The Hobbit as well. Alice is the ring. So Chris, whenever he has Alice too close to him, he gets sick.
You've put a lot of thought into this. I can't better it. I bow to your breadth of knowledge, your research, your obsessive pursuit of the truth here. So, yes, you're right. And nice one. Thank you very much indeed, Martin. Keep them coming in.
Definitely. And now we go to an email from Purple Pumpkin, who says, "Dear Philippa and Quentin and all in Dumpty Dum Land, this is your loyal listener, Purple Pumpkin, getting in touch after quite a while. I've been out of sync with the Archers and the podcast, so it has been hard to write in. But I did want to say how sad I am that Kirsty seems to be leaving town. I know that in reality, she'd have left years ago after one trauma or another. But having stayed this long, I'd love her to stay permanently. Will her departure announcement be enough to make Roy realise he can't bear to be without her? My only other thought for this week is that the Archers version of Wordle should be called Ambridge, that's A-M-B-R-I-J, which is also six letters. Oh, and when someone comes up with an app to set your own Wordles, I volunteer. Keep up the good work on your podcast, your pal P.P. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Purple Pumpkin. Yes, has anyone got a Wordle system where you can pick the words? It would be great to have an Ambridge version. Cosmo on Twitter also said, what about slurry with one R if you're doing a five letter or two R's if you're doing the six? My suggestion, I don't know, I've been thinking about it this week. I love Purple Pumpkin's suggestion, love Cosmo's. My suggestion, thinking about the yogurt, the cheese, kefir, curdle.
I think you got Cosmo's wrong. He says it would be slurry, I think. S-L-U-R-Y for Alice. Slurry. Slurry.
Well, there you go. And the word, I got that completely wrong.
And the Wordle for Ambridge, slurry, he put too many letters in there. Slurry. So he's playing with slurry and slurry.
Yes, I know, because that slurry is six letters, not five.
Well, almost for that. But slurry, I thought, was quite good for Alice.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, there we go.
I'm here, Cosmo.
It really is lucky because
defending your wordplay, Cosmo.
I just don't know what I'm doing, really, do I? I'm completely lost and at sea. And there we go. And our final email this week is from Anon of Ambridge. And Anon says, "Dear Uncle Quentin and Auntie Philippa, I have heard that Quentin is criticising my spelling and I am sorry that I did not work for the BBC, but I have tried my best. I tried to talk to Jim about it, but he was too busy looking for Red Wings. How should I improve my typing? Thank you, Anon of Ambridge." Oh, Anon, I'm so sorry. Yes. Quentin loves you and he appreciates you. Keep going. Actually, Quentin has accused everybody on the planet of being Anon. Everybody else. I think you accused me last week of it being deflection. Well, this is classic deflection. I think it's you.
Oh, I like your thinking. Yeah, yeah. It could be, couldn't it? Da, da, da. But I think I couldn't make up my frustrations with Anon, could I? I couldn't maintain them. I couldn't keep this front going as effectively as I have for this long if I really was Anon. So you can dismiss that theory. Anon, look, I'm sorry. It's just that we just want to read out your missives and give them the fair weight, the due respect that they should be afforded. So that's why sometimes some of your spellings cause us a few problems. It's got nothing about whether working for the BBC. God, you should see some of the spellings I saw on the BBC. It's just so that we can, give you the due respect. So keep them coming in. I think actually it was down to the fact that you weren't drinking enough water. I think things have improved since you are no longer so dehydrated. You can, be a gym, be a spell check. Use spell check, as Chelsea calls the prof. That might help, mightn't it?
There we go. You heard it here first. Quentin is Anon of Ambridge. Well, thank you for your calls and emails. We love them. Do keep calling in. Now on to Dumdy Book Dum. I host the Quick Book Reviews podcast, and I'm pleased to introduce crime writer Leslie Thompson, who has an audiobook that has a special connection to The Archers. So, Leslie Thompson, whose latest book is The Distant Dead, welcome to Dumdy Book Dum.
Well, this is so exciting, Philippa. I'm an Archers fan all my life and obviously a book fan. So here I am. I can't believe the two have merged. It's fantastic.
There are a lot of Archers fans who are readers as well, it has to be said. But so you've been listening to The Archers for a while. Tell me about your relationship with The Archers.
Oh, it goes before I was born, because my mum was listening when I was in her womb, as she told me. And I'm 63 now, so that tells you how long. And what I didn't hear myself, I learnt from my mum around, Grace Archer's death in the fire and just the background to what I didn't know. But it's in my blood, really. I feel as if they're my, well, not necessarily friends, but they are part of my life. It's definitely.
And who would you say is your favourite character?
I share this with Ellie Griffiths. I love Kate. I love the way she talks, the way she says Phoebe. And she's just kind of, there's an ironic lilt to her voice that just has me smiling. I mean, she'd be a nightmare in real life, of course.
Yes.
But I love the most recent rendition of her. I think she's fab. I absolutely love Kenton. And we'll come to that.
So who would you least like to be stuck in a lift with for a period of time?
Yes. God, I think we'd probably drive each other nuts, just as Kate drives him nuts and vice versa. Brian up and down about him. Oh, Justin drives me nuts too. So, oh God, the list is just growing now that I think about it.
Let's just expand a bit more on your relationship with Kenton.
Again, a fantastic voice. Always loved his voice, which really gives a sense of character. My novel, The Distant Dead, when I'd finished writing it and they were looking for somebody to do the audio, I said I would really love Richard Attlee, who plays Kenton. He's such a fab guy in real life. And actually, we talked about The Archers because my character, Lucy May, who's a journalist, and her ethics are floating, I would say. She's a bit tabloidy, but she's got a heart of gold. We said when he'd read the book, I'm thinking Lillian. And I said, my God, because I only just recently thought, she's like Lillian. I hadn't really seen it. But I mean, I guess because the Archers are in my blood, perhaps they're the baseline for all my characters. I don't know. But anyway, so he's read it. And I mean, I just love his voice on it. He's done it justice. It's brilliant. And he's going to do the next one too, which is fab.
Can you summarise briefly The Distant Dead for us?
Yeah, it's a Jack and Stella novel from the Detective's Daughter series, partly set in London in the present day and Tewkesbury in the present day, but it's also set in the Blitz, in the war. So we have a dual story, which obviously there's a connection between what happened in the past and the impact it's had on the present. And it involves a murder in Tewkesbury Abbey. It's a little difficult when you're a crime writer because, I love a place. I can sort of fall in love with a place. And Tewkesbury Abbey was one of these. And then, hey presto, I set a murder in it. But
spoils it a bit.
Nobody seems to mind. And I did get a card from a friend who was with another friend, and they'd actually gone there and they'd gone to where the murder happened. And they sent me a card from the Abbey, which was rather sweet.
Excellent. Well, Leslie Thompson, whose latest book is The Distant Dead, thank you for joining us.
Oh, well, it's been a pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
Oh, that's interesting. And if Emily is listening in Canada, she always is listening. It's not me, Emily, narrating that book. It's the actor who plays Kenton, all right? She always confuses me with him.
And now to Facebook. And we need to say an how do to you, too.
Anthony, Susie and Harry.
Betsy, Charlotte and Kate.
Catherine, Jennifer and Anne.
Sally, Rick and Eleanor.
Mary, Paul and Sue.
Abby, Glynn and Rosanna.
Moira and Stevens. That's another 20 members this week. It's fantastic, isn't it?
So what has our Facebook group been talking about this week? Let's find out as we sit back for the roundup of the goings-on in the Dumpty Dum Facebook group with our Sandra.
Hello, this is Sandra with the social media roundup for the week beginning Sunday the 13th of February. The Alice and Chris divorce storyline was prominent this week, and there was quite a bit of sensible discussion. Paul Newman pointed out that valuing Home Farm for Alice's share would be expensive alongside lawyers' fees. Chris would need a reasonable offer to avoid that. There followed a discussion about reasons for divorce, with Christine Naramore and others commenting that grounds for divorce had no bearing on the settlement. The discussion also included the question of child support and residence. Paul Newman and others suggested that a suitable alternative would be for Brian to set up a trust fund for Martha. No one seemed to be taken in by Brian's offer of a rent-free holiday cottage for Chris to live in with Martha. Paul Newman described Brian as a smooth operator. The rewilding project has come to the fore again recently. Kate Lyle wondered about the charitable trust status of the rewilding project and the opinions of other trustees. Lillian McCarthy believed that the trustees would not be in favour of Kate taking on the role. Pam Dulay created a poll and the majority seemed to agree with, "Flippin' heck, so unqualified." Leslie Southgate commented, "Please no, not Kate. Hasn't Rex suffered enough?" Joanne Smith thought that Kate's ideas sounded decent, but Kate might not be able to follow through and stick with it. Not everyone was in agreement with that idea. Debbie Bridge suggested Adam for the job, and I also made that suggestion. He has the experience and a real interest in working with the land. Kirsty was a popular choice across all the Facebook groups, but Thursday's news may have put paid to that idea. Witherspoon greatly fears that Kate will get the job. Dave Alcock suggested Amy for the job. Just why? And to finish, interactions between Jim and Chelsea seem to be popular this week. William Nolan suggested Jim and Chelsea for the next series of Gogglebox. Julie Wigg thought it could be the start of a lovely friendship between Jim and Chelsea. Well, that's that for me from now. See you later. Bye.
Thank you, Sandra. And to everyone who's posted their thoughts on the Dumpty Dum Facebook group, you would be very welcome to join us there if you haven't done so already.
We are, of course, also on Twitter under @DumptyDum. Our team always includes the Archers hashtag using a capital T and A so the visually impaired can enjoy any Archers-based tweets. It's also your gateway to the fantastic tweet along, so well worth getting involved. Please also try and include @DumptyDum in your tweet. It means more people get to see the tweet and our community grows and grows.
As well as @DumptyDum, we are both on Twitter. I can be found at QuickBook Review with a 3 instead of a W.
You'll find me at 13 Minute Man. That's 1 3 Minute Man.
Hello, it's Fry here. No, not that one. And now on DumptyDum, it's time for Tweet of the Week.
Three wonderful short, sharp ones this week. Philippa in bronze from Matt at Matt_Mark2. Rex, the human equivalent of a cold shower. That gets you a bronze, Matt. Silver and gold have a bit of a theme, yes, which you will approve of. Okay?
Yeah.
In at silver. It's Helen Walmsley J at The Vintage Year. Jazzers lured by the siren song of the Eccles cake. He is not alone. See, lots of Eccles fans out there. But in gold, one of my favourite tweeters, it's Sally Ronaldson at Milan Fred. Ah, lovely Jim. Eccles cakes with a dash of Latin. So well done.
Excellent.
All three. Well, you are our tweeters of the week.
And now to Instagram, where we are just in our infancy, but do have a look for at DumDeeDum and follow us there. We've been starting a fine archers post. The first one is of Jaleen, worth a look. We had 6 followers last week. Now we've got 106, so room for more.
That Jolene one was my suggestion. So I'm chuffed that Katie started with mine.
There we go. Yeah. Well, we need to start winding down. So we must say thank you to Catherine R. Bryan, Rob, Jen, our Ambridge Pony Club, Bill in Ukraine, Matthew from Coventry, Dusty Substances, New York Nigel, Kevin from Dorset, Claire from Clapham, Young Keith, Ian, Daniel from St. Andrews, Martin from Sheffield, Purple Pumpkin, Anon of Ambridge, and author Leslie Thompson for all their contributions, as well as Stephen for his dum-de-dum tune.
Thanks also to our social media supremos, Shambridge for her voices, and to our podcasting parents, Lucy V. Freeman and Royfield Brown.
So what will be revealed next week? Will the Bulls' Valentine's Day success be so great that the finances of the pub are at last secure forever? Will Chris move into The Hobbit and start cooing over his precious? Will Rex ask Amy out for a night of love, laughter and non-stop NFL?
Can't wait.
And will the residents of Ambridge plant their gardens at a 45-degree angle? Judges of the best garden competition will need crampons and a rope pulley system to get round. All will be revealed next week. But for now, it's a thank you for listening and a bye-bye from me.
And I'm off to spot some squirrels wearing healing crystals. Bye-bye.
We're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.